What we're going to do is take a quick look at the very end of the book of 2 Timothy. We've been going through this book and we're going to conclude it right now. The end of Paul's mentoring relationship with this young man, Timothy. So I'm going to begin by just reading verses 9 through 22. There's a lot of names. Just like my missions trip produced a lot of names, a lot of faces, a lot of connections, Paul had spent years traveling and meeting people. It was all about people and relationships and connections. And you're going to hear that as we read these last verses from 2 Timothy in chapter 4, starting in verse 9. So I actually highlighted the names just so you can see, like, wow, look at all these relationships that were important to Paul. So he's writing to Timothy and he says to Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly. You remember that Paul's in prison and he knows that his end is near. Come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring me the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm, but the Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed my message. In my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed at Corinth. I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Man, it's a lot of relationships. A lot of people that Paul had formed, had connected with over the years of his life. And you can imagine now him as an older man, and he's toward the end. He's reflective. He's cold, sitting in a dark, cold Roman prison, and he's lonely. And I can connect so much with that verse 13, where he says, when you come, Timothy, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and bring my scrolls, especially the parchments. Kim's laughing because she knows I'm always a little bit cold. And I love the heat in the summer. I'm always chilly, and here's Paul. I can just feel, you know, him just sitting there, never ever getting over that cold feeling. And as an older guy, he's saying, Timothy, man, he finds some comfort in his old worn coat and in that old tattered Bible that he studied for years. It'd be interesting to know what was on those parchments. Maybe they were quotes from Jesus. Maybe they were notes that he had made, but he wanted those things. He found comfort in them. And yet in the end, it really wasn't about his comfort with his coat and his old Bible that really captivated his heart. What captivated Paul's heart so clearly was the people that he had met along the way. The people that he wished were with him now. Those relationships were so important to him, and that's what mattered to him in the end. I've read a few obituaries over the years, and most of them contain a statement that says something like, he died surrounded by family and friends. You know, that's important at the end. And it's partly a comfort to us to know that our loved one died surrounded by family and friends. It's partly also for us to think, well, I hope that I'm surrounded by my family and my friends when I get to the end. And that's where Paul is feeling now too. When I was a kid, I remember visiting my grandma and grandpa, and they would often say, "Hey, you remember old Bart and Ruby that lived in Indiana?" "Well, I guess." And then they would say, "Yep, he died." "Okay, good to talk to you, Grandpa." And then they'd say, "You remember Mabel that lived up in Michigan, always had a weird accent?" "Yeah, I kind of remember Mabel." And they'd go, "She died." Like, gosh, Grant, it's so depressing to see you and talk, and yet, when you read this end, the last things written by the Apostle Paul, it's kind of like talking to my grandma and grandpa. Yep, they're gone. Most of Paul's friends seem to be younger than him. They hadn't died ahead of him, but this kind of reads that way. Do you remember this guy from this place? Yep, he's gone. And it's just kind of a long list of, and I can hear Paul's heartache in there. I want to just look at it. Sometimes we would skip over a list of names, but when we look at some of these names, we can see the meaning that it had for him and how important our relationships are to us. The first name isn't actually named because it's written to Timothy, but he says, "Timothy, man, do your best to come to me. Timothy, come to me. Before I die, I want to see your face." He's told Timothy, "You are my son. I'm committed to you, Timothy." And he says later, "Do your best to get here before winter." Think about this from Timothy's perspective. This was probably a 3-month tough journey on foot or horseback from where he was, mostly over the land. Like, "Oh, great, Paul. Whew, you want me to do what? I got to see if I can be gone for that." That's to get there one way and then spend time with Paul, then come back. I mean, you're talking about maybe close to a year. But he's like, "Timothy, I want you with me." And part of the reason, right away, he says, "For the reason I want you with me, Timothy, my heart's broken because of Demas." Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone on to Thessalonica. I don't know who Demas was, but I can feel the disappointment in Paul's heart through these words. And you can tell being deserted by someone because he loved this world, that was wounding to Paul. It's hard to know what it was in this world that he would have loved, but it's easy to picture it for us. Especially living in America, we the pursuit of happiness. We've got all kinds of this world to love. We've got all kinds of things to distract us from the important relationships that God calls us to. You know, and this happens pretty regularly, hey, let's be gone every weekend at a cabin. There is nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we got to be careful about holding our relationships. Are there certain people God's called us to have relationships with so we can encourage and strengthen them? And if I'm gone all the time, I don't want to desert them. Or if I'm trying to debate between supporting this ministry or upgrading my home or my car, I mean, we have these kind of debates, right? Between what God is calling to us and our love for this present world. And it's a challenge to me. I don't want to be like Demas. I want to be faithful. Because in the end, it's only the people that are going to matter. The stuff of this present world that I tend to fall in love with is not going to make a hill of beans difference to me or anybody else. Nobody cares. It won't matter in the end. It's the people, it's the relationships that God has called us to. Because it makes a difference now, and it makes a difference in eternity. sometimes people leave because they fall in love with this present world. But then there are other people that just move on, like Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. We do know about Titus. Paul's relationship with Titus was like his relationship with Timothy. He was mentoring him. He wrote a letter that was a lot like 1 Timothy. He wrote it to Titus to encourage and strengthen this young guy he'd mentored. That was a good relationship. He was doing what he was supposed to do, but life had just moved him on and he wasn't there with Paul anymore. And Paul was missing him. Then Paul says, only Luke is with me. One guy. One guy in this long list was still there. Right there with him. And it was Luke. You know who Luke is, don't you? Luke wrote... This is a trick question. This is hard. Luke wrote what book of the Bible? Yeah. Didn't write Mark. He wrote the book of Luke. Who said that? Who said that? Yeah, thanks, Andy. He wrote the book of Luke. He also wrote another one. He wrote the book of Acts. Think about it, okay? We got two guys sitting in a jail cell. They got some papers and they're writing. Who is it? Luke and Paul. Between the two of them, that's like half of the New Testament. Wouldn't it have been cool to be there with those guys? And yet they were all alone. Luke was a physician by trade, so he'd been educated. He could write real good. And he was with Paul. In fact, it's pretty clear that Luke was doing some of the writing for Paul. Paul would dictate to him, because Paul had something going on either with his bad vision or handwriting was bad, that he refers to a couple times, and Luke is there writing for Paul. And these two guys, man, how cool would that have been to be there? And Paul is saying how much it means that Luke is right there with him. And then he tells Timothy, you know, come and bring. Remember what he's supposed to bring? Yep, he's supposed to bring a couple things. His coat and his parchments, but he's also supposed to bring Mark. Mark. This verse, I'm going to read the entire verse because this is probably one of my top five verses in the Bible. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He said, get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. No lie, that's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. I'm going to tell you why. You wouldn't expect Paul to say, get Mark and bring him, because he is who I want to have with me in the end. Back in the book of Acts, we see Paul. Paul was like a new Christian mentored by this encourager named Barnabas. And they became great friends. And they go on a missions trip together with a guy named Mark. With Mark. They go on this trip together and they lead people to Jesus, plant some churches and all this. It's a great trip. They come back. We don't know a lot more about some of that, but we know that a few years later, Paul and Barnabas decide to go on a trip again to revisit all these people. And Barnabas says, let's bring Mark. And Paul goes, don't you remember what happened? We had Mark last time and he bailed. He deserted us. We got halfway through the trip. And we don't know why, but Mark fell apart. He left. He bailed out. And Paul's like, I don't want Mark. He's not useful. And Barnabas was like, but I want Mark. Maybe he knew him really well. He was committed to him. Paul's like, I don't want Mark. And Paul and Barnabas fought over this so badly that their relationship broke. And they split. And Barnabas took Mark and went one way, and Paul took Silas and went a different way. That's a heartbreaking story. But I look at this little line at the end of Paul's life, literally one of the last things recorded that he said, and he said, get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Man, that is packed with an awful lot of storyline that I wish I could know. Somehow, between the nasty break in Acts 16, 15, 16, and then to this point, these guys had reconciled. Some repairing had been done. Some reconciliation had taken place, some restoration of their relationship and their usefulness, to where Paul, at the very end, is identifying just the few people he could have with him, and he names Mark. Timothy, I don't care where he is, find Mark and get him here. That's cool. That's cool. Anybody ever have a broken relationship? It's God who would say, that person's going to become one of the most valuable people to you at the end of your life. That's a work of God. That's what God does when we pursue Him and we understand Christ's reconciliation with us. That's exciting to me. Then He kind of flips this. He gives this warning about Alexander, the metal worker, did him a great deal of harm. He opposed the message. He's kind of warning Timothy, have you ever had anybody like that in your life where you're cruising along thinking things are fine and then you feel this pain and you don't know what it is and you realize somebody's slowly stabbing a knife into your back? Oh, man. And they're taking you down from behind. I can relate to that. I've had that happen. And it's bad enough when someone outside the church is going to come in and harm you because they're opposed to the gospel. But it's even worse in a lot of ways when it's somebody inside the church who is supposed to be a partner and encourager with you who decides to take you out when you least expect it. Those are painful times. And here we see Paul reflecting back on somebody who'd hurt him badly. Hurt him so much, it was still hurting Paul at the end of his life, and he wants to warn Timothy, watch out for that guy. Watch out for that guy. Be on your guard. I don't want you to experience the hurt that I experienced, Timothy. He goes on, mentions a few more people, Priscilla and Aquila. They were the house church leaders or small group leaders who mentored Paul when he became a Christian. He mentions Onesiphorus. He's like, man, Onesiphorus is so cool. Greet him for me. Because there was a time when Paul first arrived in Rome as a prisoner, and this Onesiphorus guy, he so desperately was committed to helping and encouraging Paul, he traveled from wherever he was all the way to Rome, Italy. And when he got to Rome, a big city, he just, hey, do you know where Paul is? Have you ever heard of a guy named Paul? And he traveled around until he found him, and when he found him, he stuck with him, unashamed of his chains, and strengthened him, and stayed with him, and encouraged him. And Paul's like, wow, that's a friend. That's cool. Greet that guy. That's the kind of people we need more of in this world. And then he gives several other greetings at the end, and I'm just kind of struck as I'm thinking through the list. I'm reminded that in our lives, as we try to follow Christ, some people will turn our backs on us for bad reasons, like Demas, get distracted by this world. Some people will just move on. They'll have good things going on in their life, and they'll kind of move on and forget about it. You ever have a friend that you love them, and they're a friend, but they kind of just move on. And it's good that they moved on, but it leaves a little bit of a hole. Some people will stick with you like Luke right to the end. I can tell you now, you won't be able to predict which of your friends will stick with you when times get tough and which will leave. When we've gone through various tough times in our lives, I've always been surprised the people that I was sure would be there were gone. But the people that I'm like, I don't know if I even know them that well. They're like right there to the very end, committed. You know what I'm talking about? Have you experienced that? And it's like, wow. It's just the way it is with people. Some people will be there until the end. Some people, God willing and with our humble efforts, will even reconcile with us and become more close and joyful friends than we ever imagined they could be. And some will deliberately hurt us. But in the end, with as important as all of our relationships are, they're a reminder to keep our eyes on the most important relationship any of us could ever have. It's a reminder to keep our eyes on Jesus, because there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and it's Jesus. Paul says to Timothy, at my first defense. So he arrives at Rome. He has to go to his first court date. Nobody came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Think about this. Even Luke, who's writing this down, is kind of going, oh, yeah, great. That was me too. Everybody. And Paul had to stand there alone. But he says, may it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And through me, the message that might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord rescued me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus will never leave us. He'll be with you to the end. If I'm looking the other way, I might not realize that. Sometimes I can get distracted by all my friendships. I can get distracted by the world and miss it all. Or I can get distracted by my Christian friendships and important relationships. And Paul is calling us to remember that Jesus is always there. When we go through ups and downs and life changes, He never, ever leaves. And every day we're called to come back to Him and stay close to Christ. Every day we're called to never leave Him, as He never leaves us.